Hey everybody, welcome to episode 75 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I interview Jessica Isaacs. Jessica is a brand new registered dietitian, a previous bodybuilder, and even before that, recovered from an eating disorder. She's also a mother of an 11-year-old girl, and we talked to her about body image and how her body image has changed from the eating disorder to bodybuilding and now to where she is as a registered dietitian. With all of these experiences under her belt, she has such a fresh perspective on this topic of body acceptance. We hope you guys love this episode as much as we did. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Welcome, Jessica, to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you today and talk about this topic that I feel like we talk about all the time, but we love just getting other people's perspectives, especially those that are in the nutrition field. I know you are just finished your dietetic internship.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Which is super exciting. Anyone who's listening who's a dietetic intern or a dietitian, like, you are just saying hallelujah in your car or wherever you are because you feel the feels. So let's just jump right into it. Tell us kind of about your background of how you initially got into bodybuilding or just fitness in general.
Sure. It goes back several years ago. I actually had an eating disorder. I was bulimic for about 10 years. And it got to the point where my daughter, who was 5 at the time, started making comments about her own body. And she's a little beanpole of a kid. So at that point, I really decided I had to get this figured out. I had to kind of get on the track to recovery. I had a lot of shame and embarrassment with my eating disorder, though, so I didn't seek the help that I probably should have. Well, I certainly should have sought. Instead, I just started to educate myself on nutrition and dove into fitness and kind of fumbled through that all. But as a result of that, really started seeing the power of nutrition and what it could do to heal and to fuel my body. And I started really getting into lifting a lot. Me and my husband, now he was just my fiance at the time. We had moved to Germany and were living there for a couple years. He was a military contractor. And so I didn't work during that time in Germany. So I really like spent a lot of time in the gym and became a hardcore gym rat. And there was a gal there that had seen me kind of make this transformation as I was preparing for our wedding. And her name, she's actually an IFBB pro now, women's physique pro. And she said, hey, there's a local bodybuilding show. You should totally do it. I said, I have no idea what I'm doing, but absolutely. Did the show, placed second, and then the rest was history as far as my time in bodybuilding. I was addicted at that point.
That is so funny, though, because I can totally relate. I mean, what else would you do with your free time? Like, I mean, I'm just going to work out because I can and because why not? How fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I had nothing better to do. Well, I was in Europe, but while I was waiting for him to get off of work, I just spent a lot of time there, and it was a good outlet for the time, for sure.
So what was the biggest difference with gyms in Germany versus here?
I was actually on a military base, so it really wasn't hugely different. I've been to a few German gyms, and they're not really much different. It's, you know, they're very big. It's not like a Planet Fitness vibe at all. It's very much like iron, you know, pump and iron kind of thing. But on the military installation, huge bodybuilding community. And so I became kind of a big ego lifter there, just making strength gains. And everybody was really positive and really into lifting. So it just, I had kind of found my little niche and it seemed normal what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. So you were approached by this coach or trainer at the time. So tell us more kind of what that journey was like. Did you just jump right into more specific training? Did you work with a coach as far as diet goes? Or what did that look like when you actually got into it?
My training kind of fluctuated a bit between heavy weight and strength training. But the bulk of it was hypertrophy training. So I had a really slow metabolism from the years of abuse of my eating disorder and diet pill abuse and whatnot. So it took a lot of effort for me to lose weight and to not so much to gain muscle, but to lose weight. And so I would spend hours upon hours in the gym, do a lot of high-intensity interval training. I hated cardio, so I tried to lump it in between all my sets, like active rest and whatnot. Towards the end of shows, before I would go on stage, it would start being more about lighter weights, heavy, or a lot of volume, and I completely despised that portion of it. But yeah, so I had met up with a coach there. She had a kind of a team amongst the military members and spouses that were into wanting to do shows. And so she had kind of given me some initial guidance, but a lot of it I kind of did on my own, did my own research and just followed my own kind of plan.
Where were you at mentally as far as like coming from a history of bulimia? Like, what was that feeling like watching your body change? I can't even imagine, like, was it positive? Was it negative? I mean, I'm sure it's different looking back, but where were you in that moment?
It was both positive and negative. I definitely went from one extreme to the other on a day-to-day basis, on an hourly basis. You know, I was watching my body just do things I'd never seen it do. I had this great six-pack, and I loved it, but I was also just honing in on all my flaws, constantly looking for areas that need improvement, constantly comparing myself to other people. You know, why isn't my change happening as fast as theirs? Why aren't my delts as big as hers? My glutes as tight as hers? So it was very much a love-hate. And while I was feeling confident and sharing a lot of my transformation on social media and getting a lot of good feedback, I definitely was really hard on myself, really critical, maybe even more so than I was with my eating disorder past, because my body became the center point of my life at that time. You know, that was all I was doing.
Yeah. Did it get to a point where you thought what you were doing, do you feel kind of like obsessed with it in a negative way?
I was a poster child for orthorexia. Yeah. Like it became what I lived and breathed. I was consumed by it. Like I said, all my social media, I was following pages and people that were in the bodybuilding industry. So it kind of fueled this, this unhealthy mindset. It became very normal to me. Everybody that I was surrounding myself with were doing the same things. Here I am in Europe and we're traveling all across it to go on trips and whatnot. And I'm bringing Tupperware with me everywhere. I'm not enjoying any of the local cuisine. Every place I stay, I have to make sure it has a refrigerator, a microwave, a gym nearby. And so it's certainly looking back, I didn't enjoy that time at all because all I was doing was obsessing over my body and shows.
Yeah. It's so hard to explain, I think, bodybuilding to people because it is a sport, right? And so I think the way you look at bodies, it's like such from a different mindset than an outsider, right? Because when you talk about comparing like your six pack and your delts and your hamstrings, like you're literally looking at the muscle development, which absolutely. I think a lot of people don't look at the body that way.
Right.
But so where was your brain at that in that aspect? You kind of said you flip-flopped back and forth.
Right. So, you know, I would take pictures and I did different photo shoots. And when I wasn't at my peak competition stage, I got a lot of great feedback from kind of mainstream folks that thought I looked fantastic. And to me, I'm like, I look, you know, I have 5% more body fat than I should have. I'm not stage ready. I can see a little bit of extra fat here and there. I've got a little jiggle here and there. And so, you know, it all became about getting as lean as possible all the time and being able to see muscle and have all those striations and everything. So it was this, instead of just looking at my body as, wow, I've made this incredible turnaround. And what initially, before I started getting into bodybuilding, I thought, wow, I'm doing great work. I would go back and look at my pictures and think, oh my gosh, you had no idea. You looked terrible then. I just was always competing against myself and other people. It really wasn't a healthy mindset at all.
So at that point, would you have thought, like, would the ideal have been that you looked stage ready all the time?
Yes. And I knew logically that's not possible. It's not reasonable at all. In order to get to where you need to be stage ready. For me personally, I was doing things like diuretics and, you know, not drinking water and not consuming carbs, you know, like no carbs for extended periods of time. I was doing crazy things. And so I knew that it wasn't going to be feasible for me to maintain that and to keep my muscle mass or really just to live. But yet I still, that's what I wanted. I wanted to always look stage ready. And so it'd be a week after a show, I maybe had put on 5 pounds at the most, a lot of that being water weight. And I'm balled up in the room crying because I look fat. So it just, it was really, really unhealthy.
Yeah. So you've already said that, like, you were getting great feedback from, like, mainstream people, which I totally understand what you mean there. It's like, you looked fantastic all the time, I'm sure. Yet you had these crazy expectations. But what type of feedback did you get while competing? And how did that affect your psyche?
Well, so in all the shows I did, pretty much all of them, I placed in the top 5. So from that standpoint, I got really good feedback. I didn't really seek out the judges too much for their input because I already kind of knew, you know, I was always most critical of myself. I was coaching people as well during that time. So I'm kind of trained in picking out people, the areas they need to improve. So I could look at my own physique and know which areas I needed. And I knew that getting that feedback, though, would be helpful in my own growth as an athlete, probably. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle the criticism of it. So I had a really inflated ego at the time and was just very shallow. I mean, everything was about bodies. And like I said, I was working with a friend of mine. We were coaching a team of a couple dozen athletes. And so I was always posting pictures on social media. Look how great I look. Look how great I look. But behind it all, it was, you know, waiting for those likes, waiting for those comments, waiting for that feedback. And I lived and breathed by that. If I didn't get any good feedback on a picture of mine, it was like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? So I was kind of setting myself up for all of this negativity and fueling it myself with what I was doing. So while the feedback was great and it boosted my ego, there was something else that I needed to heal that I was ignoring.
How long did you compete then?
Would have been about 3 years total. And in that time, I did 10 or so shows.
Wow, that's definitely, that's a lot. I mean, I don't know the full lifespan of physique athlete. What is a typical, I don't want to say lifespan, but do you know what I mean? Every sport has their kind of, you know, you can only do it for so long.
Well, I mean, you know, there's people that compete at the junior level, which are people under 18, and there's people that compete at grandmasters level. You know, I've seen people on stage that are in their 70s, 80s. And realistically, at that age, they're not competitive with your average competitor who's more like low 20s to mid and upper 40s, but also your muscle mass and what your muscle looks like after so much time is in the sport and lifting, it gets better and higher quality. So there's definitely you can have longevity in the sport. To do shows back to back to back, and especially the way that I was doing them, where I was restricting so much and dieting down so much and using all these supplements and diuretics, I shouldn't have been doing so many shows in such a short period of time, but people certainly do it. I hope that those people that do it are doing it healthily, because I know that it really took a toll on me. I mean, I'm having hypoglycemic episodes every time before I walk up on stage, and I'm cramping because I don't have enough electrolytes or fluid in my system. So if people are doing it for a long period of time, I can certainly see that there's only so long before you have to seek out either some other kind of thing to boost you up, like steroids or something, or get off the stage.
Yeah. You've already been kind of hinting at that, like at some point something switched. So what was that point?
By this point, I had come back from Germany. We were there for a couple of years. I did a show or two here in Indiana. I actually flew out to Helsinki, Finland to do a show with my crew that I was competing with at the time and coaching. And it just became, when I started my dietetics degree at this point, and I was traveling an hour and a half each way to school every day, plus doing all these other activities and things that I needed to do in order to make myself a good candidate for an internship program. So it just became harder and harder and harder to keep up with the lifestyle, especially at the degree I was doing it. And all of the things I was studying and learning really were contradictory with the things that I was doing. And while I never had asked any of my clients I worked with to do the extremes that I had, it certainly made me more conscientious of what I was asking them to do and even take an even healthier approach in the way that I asked them to train. And so I kind of just really didn't really like this the requirement of what I needed in order to be on stage. And I also got tired of kind of aesthetics lifting. It was so monotonous, you know, to have to lift to build muscles and to build the quality of muscles you need to compete. And that got boring. You know, I was at a point where I'm like, okay, I've got muscles, but so what? What can I do with them? I had never played sports growing up. I ran track like one season in high school, but I wanted to see what I could do. So I started doing like obstacle course racing, like Spartan races. And I joined a flag football team for a little bit. And it really wasn't until I stumbled upon women's rugby. I had never seen it before, let alone played it. But I went out for a practice one day, and I just absolutely fell in love, not just with the sport, but with the community of women. They were all shapes and sizes and colors and sexualities, and they all showed so much love and acceptance towards one another. There was no fakeness. It was just, you know, they are who they were. They accepted you how you were. They didn't care what you looked like or who what your background was. They were all joined together in this sport. And I watched the way that they valued their own selves and valued their own bodies. You know, these women who have all the things that I was, you know, trying to get rid of. And here they are just loving and accepting their bodies. And I looked at that and thought, man, if I have all this shame and self-loathing about my own body, and these women are over there just rocking it and just so proud of what their bodies can do and how strong they are, regardless of what they physically look like, you know, why couldn't I feel that way? Why shouldn't I feel that way? And so that at that point, I really kind of was able to take a step back, especially for them. They weren't really into bodybuilding, so they didn't get it. So by surrounding myself with more and more normal people and not so much this abnormal group that I had joined, I was able to start kind of pulling back and realizing the physiological and psychological toll that bodybuilding had on me, and decided I needed to go cold turkey for a while and just see how I felt about myself afterwards.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think that just goes to show that there's that saying that it's like you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And right. People can have such a big effect on you. And you joined this group, like you said, that was all about competing, and you excelled by being around them. But at the end of the day, you really, it seems like you needed more of the self-love that you found in this rugby group. Like, I love that.
It gives me goosebumps. Yeah, because I know that feeling in fitness settings. And I think when you find it, like, you know, like, okay, these are my people. Like, I'm sure you don't go to rugby just to work out. Like, that is probably the last reason you go.
Yeah. And so I went from fitness being about, you know, going to the gym and beating myself up if I missed a session, or I didn't go as hard as I should have, or if I didn't burn enough calories, to really appreciating physical fitness. You know, it was just something I did for fun. And I didn't even think about working out. You know, it was just, I was working out, but it wasn't about that. It was about playing this sport and pulling my own weight and succeeding as a team or whatever, and really just having fun most of the time, because the team I was on initially, we didn't win a lot of games, but it really renewed and kind of did that thing that we as, you know, nutrition professionals are trying to get people to do, which is, you know, not see fitness and working out as, you know, something to reach this weight or to do a competition, but really just because, like, it just feels good and you love it, and it just comes naturally, you know?
Yeah. And I think another great point here is that sometimes you have to keep looking for that type of workout or that type of team or whatever it is that's really going to feel like you're a good fit for you. And I think there really is a sport or a workout out there perfect for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's rewind. You moved back, because I love hearing like your journey and where you were at, literally physically and mentally along each step. So you moved from Germany to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that you wanted to go into dietetics, or what was that? I mean, even go backwards with your history of your eating disorder. Right. Like, What was that journey with nutrition?
So when I started trying to recover from my eating disorder and learning a lot about nutrition, I had no idea what a dietitian was at this point. But I'm a hardcore researcher, and so I had kind of stumbled upon dietetics, you know, and I saw, okay, this is a way that I can couple this passion for nutrition with a career. And I had been working on school, kind of just taking a class at a time for a long time, but I had switched majors a couple times and still didn't feel like I had found that thing I was supposed to do. And when I read about being a registered dietitian, that was it for me. So I had to put school on hold for a while in Germany because I really couldn't, I needed to go to a brick and mortar school at this point. I couldn't do, I kind of ran out of online classes I could do. My husband was deciding to quit his job and return to school as well. So we kind of picked a spot on the map and fell on Purdue as a place that had both of our majors. And so I kind of came into it thinking sports nutrition, that's the thing I'm going to do. And through the process of not until my internship, did I really discover, okay, there's other things I like and there's other things I'm interested in. I really don't like what I'm seeing in collegiate dietetics, just because of the demands. There's not a lot of work-life balance in that area. I interned in Purdue in sports nutrition, and I just didn't see it kind of meshing up with what I wanted for myself and my future and my family's future. But yeah, so this whole way kind of just renewed. I kept falling more and more in love with dietetics, and it kept feeling more and more right for me over this 4 or 5 year period.
You've gone through so many different stages of nutrition through your own story that it's funny that you were able to kind of just keep tying back into it and learning. And
that's funny too, that you say you wanted to go into sports nutrition, because I was the same way. I was so set. Yep. That's it. That's what I'm going to do. And I feel like so many dietitians or just people in the nutrition and fitness industry in general jump into it thinking they know what it's all about and really having no idea. But the more you learn, the more you see, no, that's cool, but that's totally opposite of what I actually need to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think towards the end of my undergrad and as I'm setting up, I did a distance internship. So I set up all my rotations and sites, and I really wanted to kind of explore more niche areas and things that were not the common thing as much as I could to see, do I like this? And I didn't realize there were so many different options for somebody in dietetics. There's so many different paths you can take. And I'm over here being, you know, trying to have my cake and eat it too. I want to do a little of everything. How do I make that happen? sports definitely is something I still want to do. It's not the only thing I want to do. So I'm trying to find a way to make it all mesh together.
Yeah.
What were some of the different rotations that you did that you really enjoyed?
I truly loved all my rotations, except for food service. That's the only area I probably could say I would not go into ever unless I was desperate. But I did bariatrics, love that. I did not think I would like clinical, but I loved clinical. I had an opportunity to work with all kinds of different folks. They were certified diabetes educators in the site that I went to, so I got a lot of diabetes experience, loved that. Love long-term care. Couldn't see myself doing that all the time, but I could spend a little bit of time there. I did a community rotation with the public health department. That was also cool. I did a corporate wellness rotation with Monarch Beverage, which is like a beer and wine distributor. But they just have so many cool things there. I mean, they've got a lot of money in their corporate wellness program. So all these different things I'm doing were just were so interesting to me. Oh, even did a grocery store dietitian, spent a time there. So I had all these really, really cool, interesting areas, and I could see myself staying at all of those sites.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a lot of different settings.
Yeah, I love that you got such a wide variety of experience. So after having all that, I mean, this is the question that you've probably been asked for the past, I don't know, however many years of your life. What's your end goal then? Or do you know, or are you still figuring that out? Because you take your test very soon.
Yeah.
Yay, exciting, fingers crossed.
I take my test on Saturday, and Sunday I move to Virginia Beach. all this process, I figured, you know, moving sounds great during this whole studying for the biggest exam of my life. Why not? Let's pile it on, right? But so I have a job lined up, a clinical job at first, and then I'm also going to be working with a private practice. And that's really where I see myself going long term. Private practice, having an opportunity to kind of get to work with a lot of different clients in a lot of different areas. I like to do a lot of creative things like nutrition communication. So I want to be able to do that. I've started doing some independent contracting, doing some content development for a couple different companies. So I'm really trying to make it work, like trying to bring all these things together. I would love to just be able to counsel people, do presentations, do demonstrations, have it all. And so that's the plan. That's the end goal is to dabble as much as possible.
Well, it sounds like you've got it all. You've got a lot of stuff lined up. So you'll be dabbling at least for a while.
Yes. For sure.
And we are all about dabbling.
Yeah. Katie and I combined, we probably have like 20 jobs.
We wear 80 hats.
Girls after my own heart.
So you've gone through many transformations, and how has this affected you and your husband's relationship?
We were dating when I was kind of going through this eating disorder recovery. He had no idea that I had an eating disorder. Even when I told him, he still didn't realize that I was doing all of this secretly. Mm-hmm. He was working out a lot when I met him. He had done a bodybuilding show, I think, ages ago, but it was like one of those things where he signed up the week before, didn't really train for it, so it doesn't count. So, you know, we spent a lot of time working out together. Eventually, I kind of detoured to do my own thing that I had to do in order to be stage ready. So he was always supportive of that. He definitely didn't like seeing the psychological abuse that I was bringing on myself. But he's always just been, I've been blessed to just have a very, very supportive husband. So anything that I've been interested in doing, anything that I've done, he's been behind me 100%. We've grown so much as a couple over the course, too, with just everything that life has thrown at us, going from making good money and living in Germany to two full-time students with a kid was an interesting transition, but we came out stronger out of all of this, for sure.
Oh, that's amazing. So how old is your daughter now?
She's 11. She's 11. Wow. She's fantastic.
I love all your videos you post of her. She seems wild, but awesome.
She's just the coolest. Like, I mean, I probably am totally biased, but I have a lot of people that say that she's the coolest kid. So, I mean, I'm going to go with that.
It's not just you.
How has all this influenced how you've raised her? I mean, being a mother, we talk about all this with Lauren's two girls, but, you know, your daughter's older and can speak. So how has that influenced her?
Coming out of bodybuilding was so helpful for me, and looking back and seeing kind of what I was doing and how this really wasn't any better than my eating disorder, this disordered eating lifestyle that I had adopted. What I had set out to do, I was kind of just found myself right back in, which was, you know, I didn't want her to go through the same things I did. I didn't want her to be worried about her body as a kid, but she became hyper aware of things. You know, she was, you know, the kids model your own behavior. But coming out of this and really, really starting to do some counseling work and getting myself, you know, trying to address these issues, these things that kind of triggered all of this, you know, self-loathing, really what it was, you know, and not ever feeling good enough. Once I started addressing that, that's really helped me to ensure that I don't set my daughter up for anything that I went through. So it's really grown me and made me a better parent for sure. We have a very, very close relationship, an open relationship. So we talk about everything. I tell her I like her to be the driver in the driver's seat in her own life, and I'm just the co-pilot. So we talk about a lot of things, but I want her to make her own decisions. I want her to be uniquely her. I don't want her to ever, be a bandwagon kid. And so I've always just supported her and encouraged her to kind of find her outlets and things that make her happy and just try to always tell her she's beautiful, tell her she's good enough, tell her I love her, tell her she's worthy. All the things that, you know, maybe if I would have heard when I was younger, I wouldn't have fell into, where I am now or where I was. I've learned a lot, and it's been for the better, I think, in how I parent at the end.
Yeah, it does sound like that. And I'm sure she also learned the lesson of, like, you're addressing anything that comes up in your life that you need to address. And so you're showing her, like, you're in control of your life. Like, you can, if you find that you're in a situation where you are obsessing over your body or obsessing over your weight, like, you can do something about it. You don't have to just stick there.
Absolutely, yeah. And she, you know, we don't talk about, there's no dieting in the house. We don't talk about fat. You know, we don't look at anybody. And she's the most loving and accepting and open-minded kid. And I love that about her. Whereas, you know, sometimes I might be, you know, going back to those old behaviors and looking at people and internally maybe having judgments. She just sees everybody, sees the beauty in them. And so that's what's, I feel really proud of who she is. You know, I don't know that I had to do with all of it, but there's we definitely try to make this house and any under our roof a positive environment where it's just love and acceptance and none of the shameful behaviors.
I always found that so interesting. That was probably one of my favorite areas in school, was learning about childhood nutrition and just how you talk to children and how it influences, like, from, I don't know, I always remember this class, and you probably remember it, but they showed us this video of this little kid's, or I think it was like a little girl eating a taco, you know, and they said, no, you've had enough. And how just saying that, like, forces kids to ignore their hunger cues, and, like, oh, it's just wild. So I always think it's so empowering to hear mothers especially talk about raising, like, strong, badass young women, especially if you were raised a different way, right? Because how cool to say that you can change that cycle.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
One other thing, what ended up happening with rugby? How long did you stick with that?
So I actually went on, after about a year playing for the team I was playing with, I went on to form my own team with a couple of my friends. And so we actually had this, like, it's called Circle City Tempest. It's been a full year now, actually a little bit more than that, but it's growing, it's thriving, it's wonderful. I was really nervous about stepping away because I had done so much work to kind of build it up, but the girls have just continued to stick by the mission and the vision that we had, which was to create this atmosphere, which rugby is, of love and acceptance, but also a place where everybody could feel heard and feel valued, and where if they wanted to be a part of something and build something, that that they could do that. So I had to step back. I got a concussion and started having bad migraines. So I had to go on the bench for a little bit. I might get back into it in Virginia. We'll see how time works out. I do still definitely love it. And I love the community of it, which even if you're not playing it anymore, the community always welcomes you. So it's definitely still very much a big part of my life, even if I'm not on the field currently.
Yeah.
Love that so much. That's definitely got to be hard, but it sounds like you have an exciting new chapter ahead of you, and we're super excited for you.
Thank you.
You've got a lot coming up. So we always like to wrap up our interviews with something fun. So tell us, what are you most looking forward to this summer?
Oh, this summer. Okay. So we just put an offer on a house, and it's gorgeous. And so I plan to spend most of the summer junk store shopping and upcycling furniture and decorating and all that fun stuff. I love doing that sort of thing. So I've got a whole canvas that I've got to paint there. So that's probably what I'm looking forward to the most. And then also, you know, getting to spend some good time with my daughter. She's been a really great independent kid for a while we've gone through all of this school and internship. So some much needed camping time and hiking time and family time is in store.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. If our listeners want to find you on social media, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So Live A Little Nutrition is kind of my brand. I won't call it a business yet, but I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Live Little Nutrition and at livelittlenutrition.com as well.
Awesome. Well, it was so great to have you. So good to get to know you a little bit more. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope that you do end up reaching out to Jessica with any questions about body image or body building or anything like that. And we will talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.